This is down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Haynes.
Welcome
to
the program.
Are you hearing me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right.
Loud
okay.
and clear.
Right. Okay. I acceded into your request to come in and discuss the minimum wage and the integrity legislation. Now, let me hasten to say that I've been calling program in Barbados for 38 years. And I remember back in the days when I was speaking to Shannon Hatch about minimum wage. I've touted minimum wage. I don't have anyone. And this is not about me, Lord, and myself, but the facts are there. And I can, my disposition is consistent. I remember in the early years when I said to Cannon Hart about the minimum wage, and I made a clarion call that if you allow the cost of living to catch up with minimum wage, and you up the minimum wage, you up the cost of living, you up the minimum wage, you up the cost of living, you end up back at square one. And he made the point to me that that made a lot of sense. I remember that comment as if I'm hearing it. No. Minimum wage is a necessary thing, but then if you're allowing the cost of living to go and catch up with the minimum wage, you're back to where you just moved from, and up. It makes no sense. So it is something that has got to be regulated, particularly in respect to salaries. Now, I want to, my name's Seth Rawl Eastman, former MP, lawyer, etc. He was on the program earlier.
Yes.
I want to fortify a lot that you said. The thing is, I suspect you're going to have tiers of the minimum wage and categorizing as regarding the category of work. It's not going to be an easy thing.
You mean by different sectors? In different industries or sectors? Okay.
Yes. And it's nothing that you can arrive at in a minute. It has to be methodically done and thoughtfully gone into. But I am a stickler for minimum wage. I've been talking minimum wage from in the 80s, not today. And I am satisfied that something now is being done in respect to minimum wage. You know how I cried down back in the day? People working for $100, $150 a week. You know how I abhor that and kind of condemnation rendered to that from me back then in the 80s? You imagine a person working for a chicken feed. You've got people working for $200 a day a week. And I'll say to you, the moderators who would tend to disagree with me and say, how you know they can pay? And I will retort quickly by saying, how you know that they can't pay? So let's go. So you're saying you've got your opinion, I've got mine. The thing is that you've got the clear cases of persons that can pay. You see, I remember one that Canada has discussed with me too. I remember when maids and domestic used to be working. I remember this came up vividly. Half their work. You got to have their maid. I went 2 o'clock, they're now leaving the house and that kind of thing. Exploitation. And he had asked me, so how would you do it? I said, what you would have to have is an umbrella of domestics across the island. And they identified under one umbrella. And then that body then buy and contend for the rights of the worker. Among other, you know how much things I've said about. I should have.
You mean a domestic workers union?
A domestic workers union? A domestic.
There's one in Trinidad as well.
Okay.
Trinidad and Tobago has a domestic workers union.
Right. So I told her that back then in respect to when he was saying about how we would get it done. And I made a suggestion all day. The point is, I hate with some passion the manipulation of workers and workers' exploitation. And it is high time. I said earlier in the year, I said last year, this year you should have a labor overhaul in the island out of the mayhem that you had just before the holidays. All the marching and the protesting, the crying out for severance, and a labor overhaul right now is something to sit down and dialogue and get to the bottom of it. And look how fair I am here, Dr. Hines. A fair day's work for a fair day's pay.
Yes.
And be keeping the scale balance. I don't want nobody to go and work and waste people's time and expect to get a fair day's pay when they're not giving a commensurate work. So that is that for me. And I could go on and on and on and on about minimum wage. Now, quickly, the integrity legislation.
Yes.
I am so annoyed that.
Do you think it will be brought back?
I'm going to answer. Let me get this point in answering you in a direct way. Mm-hmm. I was so annoyed and infuriated to hear you're going to pursue an integrity legislation, and you exempting judges, exempting no exemption. Nothing infuriated me more than that. If mommy come back, mommy, you got your integrity legislation I applied to you too. So I don't understand the foolishness, and I would hate to think that they will conclude an integrity legislation. Man's propensity is man's propensity. What are you going to tell me about somebody is exempt? Nobody at all is exempt in the world with integrity legislation. It's across the board. And if you forfeit, you suffer the penalty. You tell me about exempt judges. Sorry to shout at you, okay? But these sort of things really, really get me hot. Well, exempting of any person is unacceptable. You don't have to have, and I would align myself with anybody that stand up and say, no, everybody across the board, because we are all evilly with that pretense. You understand what I'm trying to say? Well, you can make somebody exempt and hurt you or not, you won't do this. I don't know what nobody will do. No exempt. So if you're going to pursue the integrity legislation, make it unilateral across the board, all on sundry.
And it should be brought back, is what you're saying as well. Because right now, it would have to come as a new bill.
Okay. Okay.
So a new bill would have to come. So that means that perhaps some of your suggestions and other suggestions could be incorporated into it.
Yeah, and a little bit on this one, because I have a good run. Thanks for your efforts. But let me say to you, you see this rank. I said overturn. I talk about the old annex hospital buildings there, the old general hospital alongside the QEH. But the thing that gores me is that all those buildings, they've renovated one to a good standard, the nurse centenary school there. If you look at how that has been refurbished, shows that the potential for all the others can be applied.
Yeah.
Excuse me, please. It can all come back to that magnitude of that one that is there as an exhibit. Now, I don't understand. Somebody can make a legacy over time of refurbishing every government building and let that be their legacy. They're going down in history as every government building, as they find it, they refurbish it and make it occupiable again. And that could be their legacy.
We'll see if they take your suggestion and do it. To their benefit. So they may plagiarize your suggestion. Thank you, too. Thanks for calling. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Hello? Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, I can hear you.
Oh, yes. Please speak. Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I just want to raise a question. Let me hear. An issue here. No. You would have heard the interview between Oprah and Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, right?
I listened to it yesterday, and I was really saddened by it.
I guess this is the issue I want to raise is this. Now, in that interview, Meghan Markle told Oprah that apparently Harry told her that a member of the royal household raised some concern about the darkness of her baby's skin.
The potential.
Yes, the potential darkness of the baby's skin naturally. Now, Oprah said that Harry assured her that it was not his grandfather or grandmother. However, he did not say it wasn't his father or his brother.
Now, suppose, didn't say a lot of things.
Right.
That's
right. No, but I'm concerned about the brother, the heir to the throne, the two people who are heirs. You know, the heirs to the throne. Now,
supposedly.
Either of the two.
Assuming that this continues, but go on.
Good. Yes, it's all good. Now, at a recent Commonwealth Prime Minister's conference, the Queen asked the Commonwealth Prime Ministers to let Prince Charles succeed her as head of the Commonwealth. As you know, she's just a symbol of the Free Association of the Commonwealth. That's the role she plays. Now,
right.
The Commonwealth has 94% black and brown people.
That's true.
Take India alone, with 1.3 billion. Now, though the question will arise, should a person who despises dark skin be eligible to lead people, the majority of people who have dark skin?
Are we sure that this is not the case prior?
Hello?
I'm not saying, are we sure that this was not the case even before? I'm not saying it was, but we really don't know. The whole idea of this system is one that is based on birth, and it is very exclusionary and elitist.
Yes,
and
I agree.
You are supposed to get in through blood. And I mean, it's something that I don't really hold in very high regard at all. I don't think that this is one of the reasons I am glad that Barbados, at least the Prime Minister, has said that we are going to become a republic. I know people are a little nervous and anxious about it, but I am in no way overly concerned about the royal family unless they are telling us about some kind of repair for past injustices, whether this is financial or otherwise. So, I mean, it is really an unfortunate situation to see how people treat each other, especially people who, as you said, are supposed to be connected to the Commonwealth, which is supposed to be about understanding people of different countries and cultures, as opposed to the old Commonwealth, which is about colonialism. It makes you wonder the extent to which things have changed dramatically. And I don't know, the whole thing was just very sad to me, but I don't like to spend a lot of time focusing on the royal family. Even listening to them talking about working, I'm still trying to understand what is the work that they do. Like, a lot of the work is charity work for the brown and black and disenfranchised people of the world. Yet, when you have someone brown in your institution, this is what we hear of their treatment. So we heard in the news that this is being investigated by the royal family. We will see what becomes of it. Those who are interested in such matters.
I'm glad. I share your views. All your views I want to express. The same thing that you said. I share those views 100%. Now, the question of a minimum wage, I can't go into that now, but there's a lot of confusion and foolishness being said about it. Of course, it's an issue that, you know, being discussed in the United States right now, with the $15 minimum wage. In fact, I heard the senator from West Virginia, last Sunday talking about it and why he did not support the idea of a $15 minimum wage. Hello? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. Yeah, hello.
Why he didn't support a $15?
Why he didn't support it? Yeah, he was making the point. I think he's going for 11, and he had a point. He made the point that naturally the wages in different states are different, and what he said made some sense. Now, $11 minimum wage is what would people take. He said to look at the poverty line, above the poverty line. However, you can then top it up possibly with bonuses or something like that, down, depending on the performance of the businesses. And I think that's a good approach. But to just say that, let's assume that a business paid a $15 minimum wage or whatever it is in Barbados. Now, all right, people come to work, nothing is sold, right? How will they be paid, especially in conditions like what we have now?
I think this is the discussion, whether or not this is the time, this is the right time for this. The thing about minimum wage is that it is a floor. So it is the absolute minimum that you should be paying anyone. So it is up to individual states, if we're talking about the U.S., or individual businesses to decide how high above this they're going to go and what they're going to do in excess of the minimum wage.
But what about if there's a minimum wage, there should be a minimum sales or revenue, right? You agree with me?
Not necessarily. So if
you're going to sell a business,
well, then you have to decide if you can stay in business. If you can't afford the minimum wage, you may have to make some other choices, which is why this is a difficult time to do it. But it also is a time when people need to have livable wages. So striking that balance as to what the appropriate rate for the minimum wage is something that I think is necessary. And we also have to wonder how this will affect cost of living, because will an increase in the minimum wage then mean that the price of everything that we need to purchase is going to go up, and it would be in the same situation as if you had never increased the minimum wage anyway?
There's need for quite a lot of discussion on it, because to me I heard a lot of foolishness being said.
Thank you for your call. I would like to get in somebody else before we run out of time. I appreciate hearing from you. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Okay, let's take somebody else. No? Okay. Well, we have quite a lot in the WhatsApp chat. We have people who are talking about the minimum wage. about the minimum wage in the United States of America and how we should not be comparing ourselves to the United States of America. There are people who are talking about underpopulation being utter rubbish, and why are people supporting this decision? More concerns about the distribution of care packages, and there is a note from someone who I believe is a representative of the Barbados Workers Union, who states that it is not the BWU's policy to promote these types of things, but it must respond to the comment made regarding the union's support for its members. Even before the government's care packages during the height of the pandemic, the BWU and members of its executive council were distributing care packages to members. And this note goes on to indicate the support that the BWU has been providing. I think your caller said it best when he referred to the financial challenges faced by the BWU, but nevertheless, we move forward in support of our members as best we can. On another note, the BWU has made several attempts to provide representation for the gas station attendants to the point of being thrown off the premises at some gas stations. As your caller noted, the major deterrent to signing up many of these attendants is fear. And this is a representative from the BWU. I'm not certain if the person wants me to note their name, so I will not. And this is a practice that's not just occurring in Barbados. I don't know if people have seen international news regarding Amazon workers, that people who are working in Amazon have been trying to unionize, and apparently they have been facing some pressure from their employers so that they do not unionize, that they don't get the adequate numbers required for them to join the union. So these matters that are affecting us here in Barbados regarding the minimum wage, workers' rights, unionization, are not things that are only Barbados issues and have become so much more visible now that we are living in this COVID-19 environment. It's quite interesting to observe. People don't generally think that these sorts of concerns, when we go to purchase things on Amazon.com, we may not always think about the conditions of the workers who are operating in those areas. Do we have no more calls? So I could have let the last caller go on and have a nice chat with me while we are in the last couple of minutes of the program. So as I have some space now, I would like to go back to the issue of the integrity in public life legislation, and I would really like here to voice that I would love to see this legislation reintroduced. I understand that we are dealing with a COVID-19 pandemic, but this may also be a time where our eyes are focused on a particular health emergency, and we may take our eyes off of other serious issues relating to the handling of the public purse, to the improper conduct of those in positions of authority when it comes to finances, to taking bribes, to graft. I would really like to see this legislation reintroduced, and I'm quite curious about this anti-corruption agency and if this is going to be a replacement for legislation, if it is supposed to supplement potential legislation, and what this will mean for the conduct of government business and business in the public sector. So thank you for giving me a little space at the end of the program just to voice my opinions. Thank you all for participating in the show, for listening, for calling, for keeping this WhatsApp chat so lively that I can hardly keep up. I wish you all a wonderful week. Thank you, John Stout, for producing and assisting me through this program as always. I am Dr. Christina Hines, and this has been Down to Brass Tacks.